Welcome to Serenity, a service for your well-being. With my guest tonight and always with me, Anthony, my spirit guide, we will be your host for the next 55 minutes. I have two wonderful guests this evening, but I'm starting out with a young lady who holds a very special place in my heart. My first guest is only 12 years old, but what a wonderful and blessed gift she has. She's been able to see spirits from a very young age. And I thought our audience would love to be able to hear her story and from her eyes how this has affected her life and having such an amazing gift. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Miss Taylor Grant. And hello there, Taylor. How are you this evening?
Hi, good.
I am so happy to have you with me this evening. And I know the audience listening I think they're going to be really happy and surprised to hear the perspective of being gifted from someone who's very young in years, but yet very, very mature and a wonderful old soul, if you will.
Thank you.
And again, for our listeners, you are just 12 years old?
Yep.
Wonderful. Can you tell us, Taylor, you know, I know that you've been gifted all your life, but was there an age where you started making that connection, when you started really knowing and believing that you were different?
Well, I was about 9 or 10, somewhere in between there. But my mom started noticing it when I was about 3 or 4, because I would go and tell her that I was playing with these spirits in my playroom in our old house and everything, and she would talk to me about it, and she started noticing that when I was about 3 or 4. I noticed it when I was about 9 or 10-ish.
Okay. Now, if you don't mind sharing with the audience, because, you know, sometimes people, when they hear the word psychics or, you know, going and having a reading, they, you know, sometimes don't have an understanding of, and they think it's kind of taboo, but it's really not that way. And I know you shared with me a story that your mother had gone and had a reading. And will you share with our audience what she had to say to your mom about you?
Well, my mom went and saw this psychic, and she told her about me and what I was doing and what I was telling her. So the psychic told her that I was gifted and that I could see spirits and stuff. And then my mom started understanding that, you know, because she went to psychics and she already has those beliefs and everything. So, and then she understood that I was gifted too.
And it really makes it nice when a mother or father or even the entire family kind of open to that belief and have the understanding that it's okay. And I'm sure with them being that way, it kept you from being really scared about that gift.
Mm-hmm.
And when you started, say at 9 or 10, honey, when you started seeing spirit and you were more conscious of it, how did you feel? Can you share, you know, were you one of those that wanted to jump under the covers and bring the sheet up over your head, or did you just kind of look at them? How did you feel? And please share that with us.
At first, it was kind of scary, I won't lie. It was, because when you see those people, you're like, okay. But I was scared, because I was, like I said, like 9, I was still scared, but then when they kept showing up and showing up, I was used to it, and then I figured out that they were familiar faces, almost, I want to say. It's like I'd known them for my whole life, but then it was in a good way, though. I started liking that feeling more and more, and it wasn't scary at all. But it's almost like you know you're not alone.
Oh, and that is so true. And I've told that repeatedly to family members that, for years and years, as you know, I stayed single, and my brother would say, "Well, aren't you tired of being alone?" And I looked at him, I went, "But I'm not. I have these wonderful spirits that visit me, and Anthony, my spirit guide." So I guess, he had that deer in the headlight look, but we understand that, and you're so correct. You're not alone. It's almost having, like your best friends with you at all times. And they don't care if you have a bad hair day or makeup's not perfect, they still love you. Oh, when I know sometimes, going to school and classmates and friends sometimes can be very loving, but also kind of cruel if you don't fit in. Do you find yourself having any problem, honey, fitting in, like at school and around your friends?
No, I don't really have problems with that because I'm not ashamed of a gift, but there's some people who just don't understand what's going on with me. So I tell a lot of my closest friends, and they understand, and they make me feel like I fit in.
Wonderful. And I'm so proud of you, Taylor. And you said a profound statement when you stated you're not ashamed of your gift. I think throughout our lives, and you'll notice more as you come in contact with more and more people, that they say, well, grandma had the gift, but no one talked about it. Or, I felt I was different, but I didn't want to tell people because I thought they would think I was, insane. And it's unfortunate. And so it thrills me when I hear and see people as you who stand up. Here I am. I have a wonderful gift. And what you do with it, and I think some people don't realize the comfort that it gives to other individuals when a spirit comes to you. And if I know with the loss of your grandmother, and I got to know her briefly, how important it's been for her to be able to come to you and give a message and letting you tell that to your family. If you would just share, the other day you mentioned when you talk about your grandma to your grandfather, how he reacts. And I think you stated that he just smiles from ear to ear.
His lights or his eyes, really, they light up. He loves it when I tell him that kind of stuff because it's almost like he knows she's here, and he's not alone either because she's always right by his side.
Oh yes, and what you've done for him too is, as I was telling my husband that, sometimes people who kind of border the fence and go, I want to believe, but if I can't see it or touch it or then I it's hard for them to wrap their mind around that a spirit can be there. But when you giving the message and letting him know that she has been there and seeing her, I think opened up that gateway for him. And I had to smile when he shared with me one day that he woke up in his chair, that is his favorite one, and that he saw his wife in spirit come out of the bathroom and walked across in front of him and going to the bedroom. And I thought, how wonderful that you made that possible, and I truly believe that because now is knowing that you saw her and you wouldn't lie to him, and so just being open to that possibility, how that changed, I think, his world and how to deal with the loss of a loved one.
Right. It's like he's opening up to something that he never really thought was possible, but now he knows that she's still here, and everybody who he ever loved who died is with him, along with her.
Yes. Oh, and are there any particular stories, honey, that you can just think of that you would like to share, even if there's little quirks or your own personal experiences?
Yes, I do have a few. When I was, I want to say I was probably five or six, it was kindergarten year, I woke up in my bed, and I looked over, and there was this lady sitting by my bed with her hands up kind of towards me, and she was looking at me, and it was almost like she was watching me sleep before and making sure I was okay. And then I realized, I know this lady. She was my great-grandma, my mom's grandma, so my grandma's mom, and she was smiling, and then I kind of rubbed my eyes, and I looked back, and she was blowing me a kiss and walking out the door.
Oh, how beautiful.
And then, and when I was older, another story, it was this year, I saw my grandma, the one who died, who you were talking about earlier. She was sitting on my bed, and I have to tell you guys, she loved Pepsi. That was her favorite drink. She was sitting there with a Pepsi can in her hand, wearing an everyday outfit that she would wear, and she was smiling at me. So that's when I also remember.
Oh, it's so nice because, you know, they don't really have to say a word. It's like they just telepathically communicate with you. And just having them there and that smile, that's all you really need at times. When we lose a loved one, you know, it's so hard because we can't touch them. We can't wrap our arms around them. But in spirit, it's those feelings just come alive again. And it's like we wrap our energy around them and our heart, you know, and that love is just so strong that you don't need that physical touch anymore.
Right.
Now, in your group of friends, honey, are there any of those who talk to you about, you know, feeling different, or are they have any type of gifts?
Well, there was, well, my best friend, she actually told me once how she sometimes sees her great-grandma, and she comes in and talks to her sometimes, or talks to her, but my best friend, she doesn't know how to react. You know, she kind of shuts it down. She shuts that gift that she has down, and I keep telling her not to, but she's scared of it.
Well, hopefully she'll take your advice, honey, because you are a wonderful example to so many young people, and you're going to find throughout your life that you're almost going to be like a beacon light. These gifted children or young adults are going to be drawn to you, and believe me, you are going to become like a teacher for them. And with you having an understanding about your gift, you're so going to aid them and letting them know you don't have to be afraid of it. But each will take their time to, you know, come into that full blossom with their gift. But I just think it's so important to have young adults, you know, as yourself, talking about it, not being ashamed, and being there to help others understand maybe what conflicts going on in their life. So you are just a wonderful tool from the divine, my dear.
Oh,
you truly are. And I know we texted a little bit earlier about Lexi, who is a family member, and I think we both agree she is very special.
Mm-hmm, she is.
And the name for her little skunk is Pete. So if she's listening tonight, Lexi, that's the name of your little spirit animal. Mm-hmm. And now, I guess I should back up here and tell the audience that you have a wonderful animal spirit guide, and it's a penguin. Mm-hmm. And have you discovered his name yet?
Whenever I think about him, this name always comes up, and it's Steve or Steven, but Steve is the one that comes up most of the time.
Then I believe Steve is what you should be calling him. Well, and for our audience listening, I'm sure everyone is aware, I hope they are, that we do have guardian angels with us. We also have animal spirit guides, and it's so awesome because each of us have a different one. And there's wonderful books out there that are animal spirit guides. They may go by a little different title, but they will go and give you reference to what they mean. And if you read the definition, they always seem to suit us. I have a big lion, and his name is Zeus. He's been with me for many, many years, and there are people who see me walking with him, and they just kind of almost want to stand to the side, even though he's in spirit. And I just smile, go, I never leave home without him. I think it's been a year ago, I knew when we had our conversations and we were looking at pictures of you and some family members, of all the orbs that were in your pictures. And orbs are also like angels and spirits of loved ones that come, but they're inside these beautiful bubbles like for protection. But I think even then, you already knew and understood what those orbs were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have lots of pictures with those. Even if they're on my computer, they're still there. Like, you don't have to physically be touching the picture. They're always there.
You have a lot of loved ones around you. And I know that if you really look clearly into a lot of these orbs in the pictures, you can see the faces within mm-hmm. them at times. And it's so wonderful. Pictures are a wonderful way of letting us know that they're there. And there's nothing wrong with our cameras or our film. It's like, okay, here we are. You know, do we have to give you a picture to prove it? And I think you're going to find, honey, throughout your entire life, you're going to have all these orbs showing up. Now, with your gift, honey, you see spirits. Have you found that there's anything else happening with you? Any changes? Discovered I was able to see spirit, I also discovered I could start not only human spirits, but animal spirits. And then things started changing, like the energies. I could became more sensitive to it being hot or cold. Has that type of transition happened for you yet?
Not yet. Well, sometimes when there's just sometimes where I'm in a room and I don't like the feeling of that room, I will get up and I will leave because there's just a bad energy in that room that there's something telling me that I don't like it and I need to get out. But nothing that I have noticed, no, other than that.
Okay. Well, but that's a good thing, honey, that your higher self is, you know, developing more and your senses are becoming more aware, and you're going to see almost like that protection mode is instantly going to be there for you. Because being gifted, honey, we do have such beautiful angels that watch out over us. And but we have to, you know, play our role too and pay attention to our chakras, that third eye, that little voice inside our head, and that stomach feeling, that emotion, and going in, like you say, to that room, it doesn't feel right, and you act upon it, and it's taking you out of harm's way and danger. And with you doing that now at a young age, staying in tune with it, you'll never really make a a bad choice in your life. And trust me, as you mature, you're going to really appreciate that one when it comes around dating the right kind of guy.
I sure hope it does.
It's like, oh, he's really cute. And that little inner voice goes, oh, but he's bad. Run. Leave him. And so always pay attention to that higher self, honey. Trust me. It'll save you a lot of grief. Oh. No, I'm hoping we have a lot of mothers and fathers listening tonight, and maybe having their children along with them. Is there any special advice, Taylor, that you would like to tell that individual about being gifted, and maybe some words of comfort or guidance that you could give them from your perspective?
Well, definitely. Don't shut that gift out if you think you have it. And if you are ever do see something like a spirit, it's okay. They're not there because they don't like you. They're there because they love you and they want to give you comfort. And if you shut them down, then but you have the gift, so don't shut them down.
Good advice, honey. And I think getting some reading material is so helpful. And I think a year ago, I suggested getting the book by Doreen Virtue called Earth Angels. And how wonderful that book is, because it does talk about the indigo and the crystal children and the signs. And I think there's even a little test in there that you can take that kind of shows you where you're at. Or what you are. So, and I think another encouragement for those who think they're gifted, or maybe a mother or father needing some tools, go, to the bookstore, go to the New Age section, look for material that can talk about the indigo crystal children to give them an education. And I think to help that child, you are so fortunate that you have, a family and your mother who, embraced your gift, and instead of trying to close it off or thinking you had an overactive imagination, and where so many parents do that, and they take them to the doctor and want to put them on Prozac or a Ritalin, and they suppress that gift, and it takes a lifetime maybe to restore it. Any year that's lost is so precious, and that we just can't shut the gifted ones down. And like in your case, just looking around at your family, being able to smile and see your grandmother and tell your mother, your grandfather, and seeing the joy in their faces. Wow, how could anybody turn away from such a gorgeous gift?
I don't know.
Oh, well, sweetheart, you have a wonderful, wonderful journey ahead of you. And I have to tell my audience, you're just such a beautiful young lady, inward and outward. And yeah, I tell my friends about you, and I go, she's 12 going on 40.
Thank
But
you. Thank you so
you're
much.
so well, you're welcome, honey. And just but I always encourage people to enjoy your youth, enjoy this journey, this wonderful passage that you're going through. And it's nice to know that there's booklets out there, and I'm writing books to address and to be guidelines for young adults such as you. I think more and more material is needed. And not being afraid of listening to programs like us and picking up the phone and calling. And if you can't talk to a family member, find someone that you can talk to. Just because you're different, don't go in the closet. Don't hide. Embrace what you have, and spirit will guide you to the right people. And I am so fortunate that, I being able to meet you and call you family. What a joy that is for me, and going to be able to see you grow and develop into a beautiful woman, and being so talented, and what an age you are going to be, honey, to this world. It touches my heart because I know how you are going to touch so many in your journey here, and I just feel so blessed to know you.
I feel blessed to know you too.
Well, thank you, honey. Well, I know our time is coming short here, but before I say goodbye to you and bring in my next guest, is there anything special, honey, you would like to say to the audience, or maybe a shout out to a family member in this realm or the other?
Well, like I said earlier, don't shut down the gift. It's good. And if my best friend Sheila is listening, I'm talking to you. Don't shut down your gift. It's good.
Sheila, listen to her. She knows what she's saying. And if you ever have a question, Taylor will give you my phone number. I'm at your disposal, or your parents. So please don't turn away and shut a beautiful gift. Follow Taylor's example. And dear lady, I thank you so very, very much for joining me and the BBS Radio family. And those listening, oh my goodness, embrace what Taylor had to say. Look at your child. Go get some reading material and both become enlightened. Taylor, thank you so much, honey. I will be talking with you, and just love and blessings to you.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome, dear. Good night.
Goodbye.
And with that, if I may contact my dear Zeth and take us into a short pause here and we can get our next guest on the line, I will be back with you shortly. Welcome back to Serenity. The next half of our program, I have a wonderful gentleman who actually has a business right down the street from Serenity. He's a very busy man besides being a husband, a father, all kinds of hobbies, raising four kids. He is the president of Two Moon Press, a wonderful company that publishes amazing books, but he is also an author. So I like to bring on the air with us this evening, Mr. Don Sonora. Good evening, Don. How are you?
I'm fine, Peggy. How are you?
I'm well, sir. It's so wonderful because, again, being a busy man, I want to first bring you in as Don the author. You have two books out, one, The Altarverse, and the other is Freya and Gord. Can you kind of give us a rundown about the two books?
Well, the Altarverse is coming out this month. It'll be out right around the 20th to the 25th of the month. What the book is about is it's about four gamers who do role-playing games, and they find a magical book, and it transports them to this magical world called the Altarverse. And it's about the people that they meet and their attempts to try to get back home. Free and Cord is actually a prequel to the Altarverse. It's actually part of a series of books I'm going to be writing about the characters and the events and the various things they're going to read about in the Altarverse. So there's going to be an ongoing series of books based off of that.
And now these are going to be available this month?
Well, Free and Cord has been available for a few months now off of Amazon.com, and I have an ebook and a Kindle version in Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. The Altarverse is coming out between the 20th and 25th of this month, and that book is going to be available on Amazon.com and also available in Barnes & Noble.
Wonderful. Now, I understand you won a Blue Nebula, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, in fantasy in 2009?
Actually, it's called a Blue Nebula Award. Nebula. It's issued by the Creative Authors Guild here in Michigan. I won one for my writing in fantasy.
Oh, that had to be exciting because with my footnotes here, you just started writing in 2000?
Well, I've actually formally, really seriously started writing in 2000. I've always been a writer of some sort, but when I really got into writing right around 2000.
Oh, that's amazing! And win this award. I mean, 9 years out—that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for it. I mean, I was really flattered when I was notified that I won the award.
Oh, well, that's quite an accomplishment. Now, I'm always curious what inspires people when they come up with a book. Now, the Altarverse, was there any inspiration here, or was it just maybe something you thought about as a child? And, you know, we all have, like, these little fantasies in our mind. How did this, you know, come to fruition with you?
Well, I'm an avid role-playing gamer. I play a lot of Dungeons & Dragons. Even as an adult, I still do. And the Altarverse was originally a world that I created for my games. And it just kind of grew in size, grew in scope. And I actually started writing for the Altarverse in 2007. And I just decided to take, you know, a lifetime of gaming and put my experiences into a book and put my world into this book. So that's what kind of inspired me to start the writing of the Altarverse. It was based off of the gaming that I did and the people that I knew and, you know, the times that I had while doing things like Dungeons and Dragons and such.
Oh, well, that's exciting. And I know the realities of our world, it's so nice to be able to, you know, even with the games that are available now, but books, it's just a way to escape. And it's fun when you pick up that book and it does take you into the other world. And then it's almost like you become part of the book or the characters. Do you feel that you relate to, like, one of the characters in this book?
Well, the main four characters in the book are Don, Hutch, Pat, and James, and they're based off of me and three of my friends. So Don is based off of myself, the character Don in the book. And
okay.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, I write fantasy and I read a lot of fantasy and I read a lot of history. It is a form of escape, and you know, as a writer, when you write fantasy, you know, you have to immerse yourself in that world because there's so much to think about, because you have to make sure that your reader understands what you're saying. And along with understanding what you're saying, you want to make sure that reader's entertained where they want to continue to read your book.
Exactly. Well, it's sometimes we have a thought and we're talking, but we have to remember, we have to, like, you know, scope it out. And I think that's what's so important about a writer, but a good writer, is that there's no gray area for that person, that you see the fantasy, you see it acting in your mind, but now it's putting it on paper for that reader to be able to be in that same world. And I really have a lot of admiration for people who can do that, and I'll be down picking your mind here, of course, when I'm putting my books together. And with that in mind, I hope our listeners are just sitting here and amazed about, here's a man who writes fantasy, just started winning an award, now is the president of Toon Moon Press. Now, how did we get there, Don? How did we, you know, well, this is amazing.
Well, I started off, I had a small graphic design and sign shop in Marshall. And I was actually doing contract work for several larger publishers. I was doing book covers for them. I was doing some technical rule writing for a couple game companies, and I was doing artwork for a couple game companies. And I had a few authors approach me while I had my sign shop. And at the time, I was published by a different publisher who's no longer in business in Michigan. And they were not doing my book justice at all, and they were not very good to deal with. And the few authors locally that I dealt with were dealing with other publishers besides this one, and they also were having major problems. So I was fixing their books and such. And then in 2008, when we had the big economic downturn, the bottom fell out of sign making and stuff. So I figured if I'm already doing 90% of what publishers do, I might as well take the step. So I opened up Toon Moon Press and started off by myself in an office and in Marshall. And recently, about a month and a half ago, we completed our third expansion, and I now have 18 employees.
Wow.
So
that's quite a big accomplishment, especially in this economy.
Yeah.
Now, how many books or different authors that you are handling presently? Is that
we have approximately 130 authors that have published approximately 155 books. We have right now in the works another 40 book titles that are due out in 2011 alone. So we're trending to be, at the end of 2011, upwards of almost 200 books.
Wow, and for a new company, I mean, that's impressive, Don, because, and it's not easy. I mean, we have, being out there and all that it takes behind the scenes, you know, owning businesses, it's tough this day and age. And to have people coming to you, and that's what I'm leading up to. There's so many of us that, you know, we have our journals and we write our little sketches and think, someday I think I want to get this published. Could you kind of walk us through the process, Don, of, let's say we have this booklet, we have it, this idea, and we need to get it published. So could you take us kind of like step by step what we should do here?
Yes. Well, the first step is Toon Moon Press is not what we call a puppy mill publisher. We don't publish everything submitted to us. What we do is we review everything that we publish because we have guidelines that we follow. What we need first is the author would have to either email us or send us their manuscript. They generally will send that to an email called authors@800publishing.com. Again, that's authors, A-U-T-H-O-R-S, at 800publishing.com. We'll get the manuscript. We email a confirmation back to them, and then we review it. I read it. One of my editors read it, and we sit down and we make a decision. If we decide to publish the book, the next step is the client would come in, or if they live out of state or out of country, we handle it via mail and email. We do a consultation with them. We find out exactly what their wants and needs are as far as marketing and what they want out of the book. Then from that point, if they do sign with Toon Moon Press, we have a simple 3-page agreement they sign, and at that point we take their book. The book is sent to editing. Our editors will contact the author, and also we have cover design people that contact the author to start doing a custom book cover for them. Once we have the book cover done and the edit done, and the author approves them, we then lay the book out formally in book form. The author will look at that, have to approve that, and at that point, that's when marketing takes over. It seems like a very simple process in the back end, but it's actually very complicated. There's a lot of things that happen at the back of a book before it even sees a bookshelf. A lot of people touch it. A lot of people look at it. There's a lot of very important things that have to happen. You know, we have to prepare copyright paperwork. The book has to be edited properly. you know, all these things go on in order to have that cohesive end product, which is a book. So that's pretty much the steps that in order for them to sit there and publish with us.
Okay, now, do you do that and help, like for the cover, you know, the colors, the design they want, the pictures that possibly they want in the book, do you help with that too, or?
Yes, we help them with every step. As far as the cover goes, all of our book covers that we do are custom, and they can go to our website at 800publishing.com or 2moonpress.com. It's the number 2moonpress.com. And they can look at our portfolio and see the covers that we've done before. We get input from the client. We will find out what they want. If it requires special manipulation of imagery in order to get the specific image that they want, we do that. Everything that we do at Two Moon Press is custom. There's nothing cookie cutter about it. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've been so successful is because with some other publishers, you know, you get templates. You know, they use a template. They use the same font. They do those type of things. With us, you know, we have a hands-on approach. Everybody that works for me will talk directly to the author. They will meet directly with the author and get direct author input.
Well, I know meeting some of your staff because, I'm just a few doors down from you, and it's so nice having your authors coming into Serenity and doing the book signings, and it's so fun to see the look on their faces, and it's like, you know, it's here. I finally did it. I'm published, and it's such a feeling of accomplishment. You can just, it radiates off of them. And I don't think for some people, you know, selling the books, of course, is wonderful. I mean, we always kind of see that dollar sign, but I think it's more than that with them. It's, if they just even sold one book, it's like, okay, I did it. Do you ever just have people coming in that want the book to be published and really not concerned about, you know, I'll just give them away as Christmas gifts, or do they always come in think it's going to be the number one seller, you know, they're at Barnes & Noble's?
Well, one of the things we tell authors is when you publish your book, first and foremost, you're publishing something that you've worked a long time on and something you've worked very hard on. So the idea is first and foremost, is to take that hard work and see it in a book, to hold that book. We have authors, a lot of times, they'll break down and they'll cry when they get their books delivered to them. They finally have it in their hand. Marketing and selling books is a great thing, and it's nice to win awards, it's nice to sell books, but the core of it is to see your work in print finally. Selling the books, we do have authors that really want that drive. They really have that drive to really do the best they can. They have that drive. They want to be that next best-selling author. But, you know, the true reason to publish a book, I think, in my opinion, is just, you know, to see your hard work and your toil and your ideas and your sleepless nights and to have all that really just pay off and have something in your hand.
It shows, Don.
Selling books is secondary. I mean, it's a good thing to do, but, you know, the main thing is getting that book in your hand.
Well, I've seen that look on the faces of the authors who have been down there at Serenity. And it's just, you know, it's so wonderful because it's like their little chest pops out and it's like, I did it, you know, I finally. And I think it's almost like those family members that go, oh, you'll never do it, you know, and oh, sure. And it's like, I've proven it not only to myself, but to the non-believers, you know. And
absolutely.
I think we always have those that go, oh, yes, you're all talking. But it's like, here it is. And I know I'm probably going to be just the same as like the hen in the hen house bloating out your chest going, here I am, I did it, when I finally had my first book published. And And I'm so happy that you guys are just down the street, so you're going to have to bear with me probably for the next few years.
Not a problem.
Oh, and I, in talking about your service and how you treat your people, when I was reading in your website, I was really impressed by your motto, and it quotes, "You deserve to be treated like your publisher's only author." That's really profound, Don. Wow, that's excellent.
Well,
and
people like
I
that
do
one on one. They want to feel special, and they are special. Anyone who publishes a book is doing something very, very special, and they deserve to be treated that way.
Well, the staff that I've come in contact with, wow, you're doing that. They're just wonderful, wonderful people, and I truly hope that those who are sitting at home listening to this, who have that little manuscript or their journal tucked away, get it out of the drawer, people, dust it off, go over it, and get a hold of Two Moon Press. You know, it warrants at least asking, because I think, Don, you'll be very honest when you're critiquing and reading this, that, you know, we understand where you're coming from. But I think if you didn't think it was sellable, you would also maybe have them go back to the starting pages and critique.
Yes, we that's part of what we do. That's why we look at every manuscript. I mean, there are manuscripts that we get that need some work, and we point out the areas we think that they need work on. And some authors will thank us, and they come back 6 months later and say, hey, guess what? I went ahead and did your changes that you suggested. And, you know, we take a look at it, and they sure did. And, you know, it's you know, a book has to be marketable. I mean, you know, there are people who write, and the book just isn't quite there yet. And part of being an author is, it's like when you're published, you get a bad review. You gotta take the feedback. You know, and
yeah,
you have to look at the feedback for what it is and help grow by it.
Well, that's true. It's like anything, if they watch America's Got Talent, you know, you get the three exits, you know. And
yeah.
So we all have, you know, even we think we're talented and we're the best out there, you know, we do have to face our judges.
That we do.
Oh, if there's any advice, Don, that you could give someone who's writing that could maybe get them on their way, what would be a suggestion for us?
Well, I think there's two suggestions I'd make. And suggestion number one is, you know, do not stop writing. You know, there's an old saying, no one's ever won the lotto by not playing. And it's the same thing with writing. I mean, always, always write. Also, another really good suggestion, those who are writing, if you ever run into writer's block and you're writing your book and you just can't get any further with it because it's just not coming to you, take a step back away from it and then maybe go back to the book and write the ending of the book. You know, don't write it from start to finish. If you're running into a roadblock and you just can't get through it, go to the ending or maybe write another chapter. You know, write a little side story, and what that'll do is that'll help you break through that and give you those ideas to help kind of bring it all together. But most of all, you know, don't ever stop writing. I mean, everybody deserves to have their voice heard in one way or another, and publishing the book is the perfect way to do it.
Good advice, because I know in my journals I've done just that. I'll just get stumped, and I'll just leave it. Go back to it, and like you say, I'll just start, okay, let me go from this direction and go further into, like you say, the ending of it, and then I can go back and do my filler. But piece by piece, it does seem to come together, but I know what you're saying about that blockage. It just, I think you want it so badly, you just, everything goes numb, so it's just, just step back, like I say, from the paper and the pen.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Well, let's once again, Don, let our audience know how to contact you through phone numbers or addresses, emails. What would be, give all of us the information so we can contact you if needed.
Sure. Well, our website is, they can reach it one of two ways. They can go to 800publishing.com, that's 800publishing.com, or they can go to 2moonpress.com, the number 2moonpress.com. They can call us directly at our office at area code 269-781-8125. Again, that's 269-781-8125. Or they can email their manuscripts to authors, that's A-U-T-H-O-R-S, at 800publishing.com. Or if they want to go ahead and do the regular old-fashioned snail mail, they can mail it to us at 123 West Michigan Avenue, and that's in Marshall, Michigan, and the zip code is 49068.
Thank you so much, Don, because I tell you, it's just, I've come in contact, it just seems like the last 6 months, with more people coming into the Coffee and Tea House and bringing in literature and reading and talking about books, since we have the book exchange there. And they go, mm-hmm. You know, I've always wanted to write, you know, and so it just seems like it's the creative juices are just being opened, and I like that. And so having these avenues of a resource, I truly hope that tomorrow or the following weeks that people will be calling and say they heard you here, and hopefully their dreams and that fulfillment of getting a book published can come true for them.
Well, it'd be our honor to sit there and help them out with their book.
Well, audience, trust me, you won't be disappointed. Well, John, I see that time is coming to an end, and Mr. Zepp's going to be tagging me that it's time to come off the air. But I want to say thank you so much for joining us this evening. Great information. And people, please go and look at The Altarverse and Freya and Cord, his books. Get lost in that fantasy. But we do need you to come back to reality, so but escape for a little while.
Well, thank you for having me on your show, Peggy. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Don. Have a wonderful evening, and we will be talking.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And before I go off the air, again, a wonderful thank you to Don Sonora from Two Moon Press being with me, and Ms. Taylor Grant, a wonderful, beautiful, young, gifted lady, and I hope her story will just help inspire a lot of younger people who feel they are different. So don't hide. Talk about it. Go to your parents or just a friend and just tell your story, and you just might be surprised that the person you're talking to may be very special and gifted and needs your ear. And so embrace your wonderful gifts. And by the time, I guess I am going to say good night, and I look forward to having all of you join Anthony and I next Monday, 8 p.m. And until then, have a wonderful week. Good night.